A young woman, probably not a librarian, judging from the green silk hot pants and see-through blouse she was wearing, came wiggle-wobbling up the sidewalk on a pair of purple fuck-me shoes with 3-inch heels. She glanced first at the cop, then at Jake to see what the cop was looking at. When she got a good look, she stopped cold. One of her hands drifted up and touched her throat. A man bumped into her and told her to watch where the damn hell she was going. The young woman, who was probably not a librarian, took no notice whatever. Now Jake saw that 4 or 5 other people had stopped as well. All were staring at the key. They were gathering, as people sometimes will, around a very good 3-card Monte dealer plying his trade on a street corner. "You're doing a great job of being inconspicuous," he thought. "Oh, yeah." He glanced over the cop's shoulder, and his eye caught a sign on the far side of the street. "Denby's Discount Drug," it said. "My name's Tom Denby," he told the cop. "It says so right here on my discount bowling card, right?" "Right, right," the cop breathed. He had lost all interest in Jake. He was only interested in the key. The little coins of reflected light bounced and spun on his face. "And you're not looking for anybody named Tom Denby, are you?"
"No," the cop said. "Never heard of him."
Now there were at least 6 people gathered around the cop, all of them staring with silent wonder at the silver key in Jake's hand.
"So I can go, can I?"
"Huh?
Oh, sure. Go, for your father's sake."
"Thanks," Jake said. But for a moment he wasn't sure how to go. He was hemmed in by a silent crowd of zombies, and more were joining it all the time. They were only coming to see what the deal was, he realized, but the ones who saw the key just stopped dead and stared. He got to his feet and backed slowly up the wide bank steps, holding the key out in front of him like a lion tamer with a chair. When he got to the wide concrete plaza at the top, he stuffed it back into his pants pockets, turned, and fled. He stopped just once on the far side of the plaza and looked back. The small group of people around the place where he had been standing was coming slowly back to life. They looked around at each other with dazed expressions, then walked on. The cop glanced vacantly to his left, to his right, and then straight up at the sky, as if trying to remember how he had gotten here and what he had been meaning to do. Jake had seen enough. It was time to find a subway station and get his ass over to Brooklyn before anything else weird could happen. XIII. At 1:45 that afternoon, he walked slowly up the steps of the subway station and stood on the corner of Castle and Brooklyn Avenues looking at the sandstone towers of Co-op City. He waited for that feeling of sureness and direction, that feeling that was like being able to remember forward in time to overtake him. It didn't come. Nothing came. He was just a kid standing on a hot Brooklyn street corner with his short shadow lying at his feet like a tired pet. "Well, I'm here. Now what do I do?" Jake discovered he didn't have the slightest idea. 14. Roland's small band of travelers reached the crest of the long, gentle hill they had been climbing and stood looking southeast. For a long time, none of them spoke. Susanna opened her mouth twice, then closed it again. For the first time in her life as a woman, she was completely speechless. Before them, an almost endless plain dozed in the long golden light of a summer's afternoon. The grass was lush, emerald green, and very high. Groves of trees with long, slender trunks and wide-spreading tops dotted the plain. Susanna had once seen similar trees, she thought, in a travelogue film about Australia. The road they had been following swooped down the far side of the hill and then ran straight as a string into the southeast, a bright, white lane cutting through the grass. To the west, some miles off, she could see a herd of large animals grazing peacefully. They looked like buffalo. To the east, the last of the forest made a curved peninsula into the grassland. This incursion was a dark, tangled shape that looked like a forearm with a cocked fist at the end. That was the direction, she realized, in which all the creeks and streams they had encountered had been flowing. They were tributaries of the vast river that emerged from that jutting arm of forest and flowed placid and dreaming under the summer sun toward the eastern edge of the world. It was wide, that river, perhaps 2 miles from bank to bank. And she could see the city.